So let's start there, even with that question. And I want you to turn to the person behind you, next to you, that you can speak to. And then you answer this question: what do you fear most? Take one scenario, one instance that happened in your life that you were really afraid, and then speak to that person next to you. What has scared you the most in your life? And describe that situation with the person next to you. Go. So it looks like most of you's. Right, there we go. Okay, so maybe some of you have said some things, and some of you said, my daddy didn't raise fearful people, and I'm not one of those. Maybe you're afraid of nothing. No one. Everybody had something to share. So what I want to get to tonight is just one slogan, and then we'll continue, is what you fear will motivate you and it will move you. Okay? What you fear will motivate you and it will move you. So, you see, in the Bible there's a lot of things that we read, and especially when it comes to the one fear that I'm getting to tonight that is a good one, is the fear of the Lord. All right, so the fear of the Lord is a good fear to have. And when I speak about this, it's a paradox. It's paradoxical in the sense of 1 John 4, as you guys can see there. It says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So the funny thing here is, and the paradoxical juxtaposition, that's a big word, but Val just made it up from Afrikaans to English. I think it's legit. But God says, listen, there's a place where you can be free of fear in love. But it says, in another place in the Bible, it says, in Proverbs and a lot of other places, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What is God? God is love. So, the perfect fear of God casts out all fear. When we come to that place of knowing that when we fear God, it's actually a good thing. And I'm going to just run through a couple of scriptures with you guys to show you that the fear of the Lord is actually a positive thing, a good thing to have. And many times when you speak about the fear of God, it's one of those things that is, we say reverence, awe, that's great. For God, I've got an awe for God and a reverence for God, and it's a lot of respect for God, and that's all that. But when you go and you take the instances where people in the Bible that we can read about came face to face with God, what happened to them? They could not stand. They dropped to the floor. And they laid down mostly, not lay down, they fell down, mostly as people that were dead. And guess where they were? They were not in the physical there. Some of them went in the spirit there. So when they come face to face with God, God Almighty, you see something that happens to them. That might happen to all of us the day we walk into eternity. Yes, we know God is love. And I think just the awesomeness of that whole picture will be boom on the floor. Hallelujah, I know Jesus, number one. And then as you lay there, then you will understand what the fear of the Lord really is. Because most of those guys were great guys. John, Paul, a lot of those people that saw God, they were Christians. And they fell down when they saw God. So when I think about the fear of God, I tend to think about that phobos. Something that you really are afraid of. But back to the paradoxical side of it, we'll get back to that later. But it's something that really scares you. You can just go and read Exodus. God leads the Israelites out of Egypt, gets to a place where he's going to reveal himself on Mount Sinai to them. And they get there, and guess what? They needed to prepare themselves for 3 days, and they had to really sort their hearts out, and then they're going to meet God. And that day when God pitches, it's on this mountain. Who of you have grown up there where there are really great thunderstorms? Hallelujah. Like in up there in the Free State and in those places. You know what? Whenever there's a thunderstorm here in Cape Town, everyone's like, woo, thunderstorm. And it's all over Facebook and it's great. And I'm like, people, you have got no idea. Azikolowena, of what it means when a thunderstorm hits you. I was in you know, grade 9, 10, standard 9, grade 11, grade 12. And most of my life, I grew up in the Karoo, there in the R, and then we moved to the Free State. So thunderstorms is part of my life. I love it. It's one of the great things that I really miss from up there. One thing that I miss from up there. I'm glad that I can be down here in Cape Town. But I do miss that. And, you know, the thunderstorms, they come and you hear them from afar. It's coming, baby. And then you see the lightning. And then you get taught as a kid, you know, you just count. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. And then if you hear it, then you know it's 5 kilometers away. Some stupid thing like that. But then it gets closer. And then as a grade 12 boy, it gets so close and so loud that you get up from your bed and you go and check on everybody in the house if they are okay. Because you are not okay. Everything is shaking when the thunder hits you. And it's just, it's loud. And you're thinking, God, have mercy on me. And when I read God coming down in the thunder and in the clouds and in the fire on Mount Sinai, I would also not have gone into it. Because of the fear of the phobos of the Lord. Apart from Moses. And that's the great thing. Moses goes up there and he takes the 70 elders with him. And it's crazy. The paradoxical thing happens. You know what happens when they got in there? God throws a party for them. They have some food. And they eat stuff. And I'm like, God, this fear of the Lord is a good thing when we enter into it. Something that we need to go into to really understand that the thing that you fear is the thing that will motivate you and move you. And we'll get to that just now. So here's a couple of scriptural examples just of the fear, how the fear of God is a positive thing rather than a negative thing. For example, in Genesis 42:18, we see Joseph wins his brother's trust when he declares to them that he's a God-fearing man. Exodus 1:17, we saw that the midwives, they feared God and they obeyed him rather than the authorities by sparing the Hebrew babies. Now, when I speak, you know, in today's days where we don't really have that phobos fear of the Lord, mostly, I hate it when people come with the Bible under one arm, wanting to sell you things, and Jesus in front, and Jesus center, and you know, God is so great, and he blesses me, and all that, just to sell something to you. But then when you look at their life, and you see what happens in their life, and how they mistreat, and how they scheme and connive, then I'm like, dude, I want to kick them somewhere. And so you cannot do that. You can't be like, woo, Jesus, God, and everything. But on the other side, you have got no fear of God in you. That's why we can have, you know, doom prophets and people like that. They can mock God with contempt for their own gratification and power. And it's fine for them. And I'm like, God, just a little bit of Sinai would help some of us. But God in his mercy, he is restraining himself for those of us that need to get into Christ, because you don't want to meet that God outside of Christ. That is, you know, Paul writes and he says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Exodus 18:21. Moses chose leaders on the basis that they feared God and they wouldn't take bribes. You know what? Those leaders that are immune to bribes in Exodus 18. You can never say that you are not a thief unless you've had the opportunity to steal when nobody was watching and you didn't steal. That is when you can say, I'm not a thief. Because in a setting as this, nice Christian setting, if I would have asked you, are you a thief? You say, no, wait. But when you are away from here and the circumstances in your life is so desperate and you get the opportunity where somebody's wallet is just lying there, and the 200 rand notes are stacked in it, and you are thinking, oh Jesus, thank you for answering my prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's here. Just take it. I've heard the story when I was in the R. One of the guy, one of my friends, his dad was a lawyer. And he had to defend a guy once. And he asked the guy, but what should I say? Why did you? Because he stole a bucky. He stole a bucky. And he said, no, I was just walking and I was praying, God, will you just please give me a bucky? And when I opened my eyes, there was a bucky and the keys was in it. So I took it. And I'm like, okay. We need to speak a little bit about that. But you can't say that you're not a thief unless you've had the opportunity to do so and didn't, because you fear God. You know that even though nobody's around, God knows. And I fear him more than whatever my circumstances dictate to me, the fear of whatever not having, and I will not steal the money. So that's why Moses chose God-fearing leaders that were immune to bribes. And then it says in Leviticus 19, 14, and 32, it says, the fear of the Lord, it was a great thing in it that it says that when you've got the fear of the Lord, you will treat the elderly and the disabled well. And we think, you know, that all these human rights and stuff are today's thinking. No, it's already coming from God's, it's in God's heart. The elderly and the disabled, to treat them with dignity. That is why God has said it. So God-fearing people do that. And then to go to the New Testament, because this is all Old Testament, we see there in Matthew 10, 28, where Jesus is a lot more frank than all of the others. And he says, don't be afraid of those who can kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That is what Christ says to the people listening to him. Listen, don't be stupid. Don't fear the people who can hurt your body, but against your soul they've got nothing. Rather fear him who's got something that can throw you into hell. That is a better way to go about your business, fearing the one that has got power over the second death, throwing you into hell. And then Paul says the same thing, the fear of the Lord according to Paul, 2 Corinthians 7:1. He says, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit. And then he says, bringing holiness to completion where? In the fear of the Lord. In the fear of God. So the fact that he says, bring your holiness to completion, that part of you that is growing in holiness, growing in salvation, working out your salvation with what? With fear and trembling before the Lord. He says, you do that because of the fear of the Lord that is in you. You go from one place of glory to another place of glory because of the fear of the Lord that drives you, not other stuff. I want to read a quote here from William D. Eisenhower. And he wrote an article in Christianity Today about fearing God. He says, unfortunately, many of us presume that the world is the ultimate threat and that God's function is to offset it. How different this is from the biblical position that God is far scarier than the world. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to go on now. So he says, listen, many Christians walk around today knowing that, you know, this world is a scary place. You don't have money. You don't have place to sleep. You don't have whatever the don't haves is. Or, you know, you might be gunned on from all places from this world. You see that this world is a scary place, which it is. But then we think, listen, I'm going to follow Christ and God because he's going to offset that fear of the world and I'm going to be fine. But then he says, listen, from a biblical position, when we get to the place where we see that, listen, God is a lot more scarier than the scariest thing this world can throw about to us, then we get to a place where we get a right understanding of what it means to fear God rather than the world. One thing that I do almost yearly is just to get myself back to that place of understanding this fear of the Lord is I listen to Affabel of John Bevere. It's a story that they narrate, and it's a listening story like on the radio that they animate, and these guys with these great voices they animate this whole scene. It's a whole story about Affabel being heaven, and then, you know, another name for the town that the people are in, and there are people in this town, and it's an analogy of us living in the world but being heavenly citizens, and how these. And he takes five people and with their names, and then we follow their story as they go through life in the world. And then one day, all of them, you know, they knew the truths and the stuff because it taught them, and then their life happens. And a lot of, one guy is really successful, but he's trampling on everybody around him. Another, and anyway, I'm not going to spoil it for you. You can go and listen if you want to. And then, one day, they came. And so they were so cool. And this guy with his voice, he says, and one day, they came. And you can feel the tension in that moment. And they are the angels that came to take those five people to heaven. And then, you know, it's anyway, and they get to the throne room of God. You can read about it in Revelation. God's judgment. And then, one by one, they go into the judgment hall to face King Jalen. That's his name in the story, but I mean, it's Jesus. And then, to hear their lives and what they portray, and then for every single one of them, they ask one question. is Duval's name found written in the book of life? And then there's the silent. And then either, yes, my Lord, or no, my Lord. And then the ones hearing no, many of them were like, but, like we see in Matthew, but God, in your name, I cast out demons. Lord, in your name, I healed the sick. Lord, in your name, I prophesied. And then, what happens in that scripture further? But I will say to you, depart from me, for I never knew you. And then for every one of them that goes out, that didn't have their names written in the book of life, again, that booming voice of Jalen saying, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then I'm like, God, have mercy on me. To fear you more than this world and its stuff and the things that move me from out of a worldly place. Because that's what we do. We get moved by fear in this world, because if it's the ancestors that we fear, the ancestors will move us more than Christ moves us, because we fear the ancestors more than we fear Christ. And we need to sit down and think, where am I? Or on the other part, we fear not having anything. We fear not having, you know, riches and stuff in this world, that we are constantly gunning for money, constantly going after whatever, and it's nonsense that we go after, but we get moved by our fear. Our fear of not having enough. So to take an honest judgment of your heart, what do you fear more? God or this world and its things? And it's legitimate things that scare us. But we need to make an honest assessment of where is our hearts when it comes to the fear. Is it fear of man and then fear of God? Is it fear of this world or not having anything, then God? Or do we have the fear of God up there where it should be, above everything? And then we go on. It says, when we assume that the world is the ultimate threat, we give it unwarranted power. For in truth, the world's threats are temporary. When we expect God to balance the stress of the world, we reduce him to the world's equal. As I walk with the Lord, I discover that God possesses an ominous threat to my ego, but not to me. He rescues me from my delusions so that he may reveal the truth that sets me free. He casts me down only to lift me up again. He sits in judgment of my sin, but he forgives me nevertheless. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but love from the Lord is its completion. Back to the first thing that I said about the paradox. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but God's love is the completion of it. God's love is the thing that breaks forth and says, you know, even though I'm this scary being with unequaled rival, because of my love for you in Christ, you know what? You are welcome. You can come in and be with me. And then where this all started for me was, I read my Bible one morning and this scripture just grabbed my attention, because I was thinking about this. In 2 Chronicles 14, 11 to 14, we see, and Asa cried to the Lord, his God. He said, O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you. And in your name, we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar. And the Ethiopians fell until none remained alive, for they were broken before the Lord and his army.
and the men of Judah carried away very much spoil. And then this one verse here in verse 14, it says, and they attacked all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord was upon them. And they plundered all the cities, for there was much plunder in them. So, the fear of the Lord, and it works both ways. The cities around, they were all paralyzed with fear of the Lord, but the army of God, they were strengthened because of the fear of the Lord. They were going on the offensive and attacking because of what? Because of the fear of the Lord that was upon them. They were so psyched up because of this big God that is with them and alongside them and behind them that they had nothing to fear. And they ran into battle and they fought with everything that came in front of them because of the fear of the Lord. And I was like, God, let us be in this place where the fear of God gets us to fight. And our fight is not against people. We know that. It's against powers and principalities and all of those things in the air. But the fear of God must motivate us so that we get up and we fight, like Asa and his people did. And then, just to take that back to the Old Testament, in Proverbs 14:26, it says, in the fear of the Lord, one has got strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. So, what blesses me about that first part in verse 26, it says that the fear of the Lord, you have got strong confidence, like we just seen, fighting because of the fear of the Lord that is upon you. But then the blessing it says, and especially for me as a dad, and for us that are dads here, we've got spiritual children behind us, it says that because of the fear of the Lord, we've got strong confidence. But then it got a blessing for your children. It says, and your children will have a refuge because of the fear of the Lord that is upon you. And how great is that? That because you, as physical parents, spiritual parents, because you have got the fear of the Lord on your life, God says that your children will have a refuge. They will have somewhere to run into when trouble comes. Because the word says that Jesus, the name of the Lord, is our strong tower. And we shall run into it and be safe. Okay, so that's the first part. And then the second one is great as well. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Who's not feeling life today? Well, maybe you should go and check how the fear of the Lord is doing in your life. If there's no fear of the Lord, real fear of the Lord, then the fountain of life that you have might have dried. Maybe go and recheck that one. When you've got the fear of the Lord on you, that one may turn away from the snares of death. It keeps you safe, people. Whenever you've got the fear of the Lord in your life, when the opportunity comes and the temptation comes, then you are strong to withstand it. You can fight because of the fear of the Lord that is in your life. But if that healthy fear of the Lord is not there, then you will step into a lot of snares of what? Of death. Snares of death. Because we think that, you know, it's okay. God will forgive me. And yes, He will forgive you. But it's a lot wiser not to go that route. Because you will just pierce yourself with a lot of sorrows. And it's not necessary to do that. Then in the New International Version, in Isaiah 33:6, the fear of God is the key to treasure. It says there that He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. All of those things, okay? All of those things. You know, a sure foundation for your times. Our times are a little bit hectic these days, guys. I haven't known don't know if you've seen. It's very unstable in the world. But when we've got the fear of the Lord, it says that He will be a sure foundation for our times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. Who doesn't want that? Salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. But then it says, what's the key to that? The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Those things are treasures to have in this world. Not being thrown about to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes along. To have a sure foundation, to have salvation and wisdom and knowledge. And the key to that all, that treasure, is the fear of the Lord. So, ending off tonight, I'm quick this evening. So, ending off tonight, I want to hold this last piece of scripture before you. And then I'm going to ask you again, what do you fear? You know, maybe like the guys were a little bit more jokey about it. You know, I fear this. All macho on Friday. Not all of them. But again, what do you fear? In other words, what has got such a hold of your life that it will move you and motivate you to do things? You know what? Whenever I speak to people and counsel them, and there's a lot of things that come out, and many times people say to me, you know, Deval, I don't know why I did that. I'm not like that at all. And just to go, it's not any of you guys here. This is just a general example, okay? So say, for instance, there's a girl that is in school, and she is the pastor's daughter. And then, ultimately, she becomes pregnant. And people are like, what? And the pastor's daughter. Luckily, I've got just boys. What moves you to do something that in normal circumstances will have no effect on your life? Even people will look at you and say, hey, how did that happen? You know how that happens? There's something that scares you more in your life than even being a good Christian, and it moves you to do things that you would usually not do. And just to go back to that hypothetical statement, you know what moves people from that place to do things? Acceptance. I do anything to be accepted in my peer group. I'd rather be in with the crowd than face this place of being rejected and alone, because I hate to be alone. And that fear of being alone and rejected and shamed is powerful motivators to do things that you normally will not do, because you fear those things more than you fear God. And I know it's tough. I'm just cutting to the bone tonight. Because in that situation, you're like, the problem, what must I do? Pastor, you are so high, but what must I do in that place? Well, for every single one, I don't have an answer, but I've got a general one. The fear of the Lord will protect you and guide you in that place if you have got that up there where it should be. Saying, God, This is where I'm at. And I really want to do this now, which I know is not right, which I know is sin. But God, I fear you more than whatever the circumstances of my life might dictate to me. And I want to say, God, help me. And God will. And we need to get to that place where we put him into the right box. There's no box for God. He is massively bigger than any of us can ever think or even imagine. We'll see that one day when we see him face to face. But I want to leave you with this sobering thought in Revelation 21:7. When it goes about the fear of the Lord, The Lord says at the end of the book about those that he will give an inheritance to, says verse 7, "And the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." And then it says, But as for the cowardly, and it's weird that that is the first thing in a long list of stuff that we think and we deem bad stuff. All of the bad stuff. Hey, see, it's nice and big. So let's just leave that top one out for now. It says, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And we all says, yes, let them burn, man. Well, let me just say that again. I am in there. So you're shouting at me, let him burn. But you know what? The first thing that God says in that place, he says, the cowardly. You know what it is to really not be a coward? Is to stand up and to say, I fear God. And whatever my circumstances or people in my life dictate to me, I will not fall for the fear of man or the fear of circumstances, because God is bigger than that. And it says there that to him who conquers, who overcomes what? Yourself. And the fear of not being able to be in this world as a cool one. If you get it right to lay yourself down and say, God, I cannot do this, and it will cost me my life, literally. For some people, it literally costs them their life if they say, I believe in this God of the Bible. They get their heads chopped off. Those guys aren't they aren't cowards. And for us, we've got relative freedom still in South Africa. Whenever you stand up, you know, not in a haughty place, but whenever you say, and you say, listen, I say no. Somebody comes to you with a 100,000 rand bribe. If you can just fast track this contract for me, I'll give you 100 G's under the table. Nobody knows about it, man. Come on. Let's do business. We all know it. There's a lot of it going on in our life. All over Africa, all over the world. But it's in that place where the cowardly falls. But those that are bold in God stand up and say no. And I've already said it here a couple of times, but our situation in South Africa has been changed because of two people and others, but two mostly, that have done this thing. They got it right to fear God more to fear than it is to fear the people. And they've got some heat for it, people. Mohweng Mohweng Tulimanunsela. Two Christians that did not fall. Moses would have chosen them as leaders because of the fear of the Lord that is upon their lives. And whenever whoever comes with the bribes and the millions and the gazillions and the whatever you want to call it, they said, no! Because I fear God. And you know what? God looks and he smiles, and God uses those streams flowing from those two people's lives to change the course of a nation. So guys, the fear of the Lord is something to grasp. The fear of the Lord is actually taught. Go to that place where you say, God, teach me to fear your name. Teach me to fear you more than my circumstances. Teach me to fear you more than the people that are in my life. In humility, and follow God. Follow hard after him. And don't be a coward. It's easy to walk away from our hearts and say, no, I'll deal with it later. God, thank you for exposing this, but I'll deal with it later. No. Run for it. Say, God, I'm a mess. I am an absolute shocker. Will you please change my heart, change my life? Because I fear you more than this stuff. Let's pray together.